Tonight, I want to start a new series with you guys called Unoffendable. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, Unoffendable. Come on, say, Unoffendable. That is a word, by the way, I looked it up myself. So at first, I did not think it was a word, but it is a word. So starting off tonight, I want to ask you guys a question. How many of you like slash love the promises of God? You know, if both hands are not in the air, I have to say, what is wrong with you right now? Okay, like the promises of God are amazing. Did you know that there are over 3,000 promises in the Bible that are towards you? 3,000. Like these are promises that talk about provision for you. Come on, how many of you guys have ever needed some provision? Like verses like the Bible says that the righteous will never be wanting for bread. Come on, how many of you guys like bread? Come on, like, Jesus, like, come on, that says you always provide Olive Garden breadsticks. Amen, right? I mean, there are promises about safety, you know what I mean? Like, we dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, like 10,000 may fall at your right hand, 1,000 may fall at your left hand, but it will not come near you. Woo! Come on, baby, I'm untouchable, you know? Like, there's promises about wealth. Come on, how many of you guys want some more zeros in that bank account? Some of you guys, that's all you got is zeros. You fell for it. You can want a one in front of that zero at least. You know? But man, like there's promises about satisfaction. Like how many of you guys want to be satisfied with your life? Like living a life that you love. Yeah, I don't know about you, man, but I do. You know, about deliverance. Man, about blessing. Like I love the promises of God. And tonight, I think there's a promise in the Bible that we can all relate to. Like, there's not one of us in this room that can't relate to the promise I'm about to read you. It is found in Luke chapter 17, verse 1. Woo! It says this. It is impossible. Somebody say impossible. Impossible. It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they come. Hear me. It is impossible that no offenses will come. Now, the word offense, it comes from the word offend. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say offend. The word offend, it means to hurt or cause pain to. So Jesus promises in this verse, man, that there will be moments where you get offended. Amen. Amen. Come on. Somebody who's lived some life knows. Amen. Come on. Jesus says, listen, there's going to be some moments in this life when you get hurt. There's going to be some moments in life, man, where somebody else causes you pain. Well. Come on, how many of you guys have ever had someone offend you before? Yeah, right? Come on, maybe it was the words, right? Maybe they called you dumb, you're stupid, you're never going to amount to anything. Oh, maybe they talked about your mama. How dare they? How do you guys know, like, the your mama is so fat jokes? Right? I love the one that says, your mama is so fat, Thanos had to snap twice. Woo! Oh, that got him. Woo, still gets me. You know, maybe, listen, maybe they hurt you through their actions. I mean, like maybe they betrayed you. Come on, how many of you guys have a few knife wounds in your back? By the way, back to the words, man, that saying that sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. How many of you guys know that's the biggest lie in the world? Like, words can hurt. You know, maybe it was through, like, disappointment after disappointment after disappointment after disappointment after disappointment after, like, this person just kept on letting you down. Right? They kept on making some hollow promises and they would never come through. See, maybe it was through someone close to you, like a best friend, a parent, a grandma, a cousin. You know, maybe it was through a group of people at your school. I mean, maybe it was through bullies. I mean, maybe it happened on social media. Listen, but here's the truth. No matter who did it, how it happened, when it happened, that it hurt at the end of the day. Am I right? Am I right? I can think back to many moments in my life, man, where I've had some deep pain and deep hurt. Now, here's the truth. Listen to me. When I experience hurt and pain, when someone offends me, it has the ability to produce offense in my heart. Let me say that again. When I experience hurt and pain, it has the ability to produce offense in my heart. Now, what do I mean by the word offense? The word offense, it means the feeling of displeasure, resentment, bitterness, and hatred towards another person. Come on. I mean, I remember when I was, geez Louise, man, I was young. I had to be like in between 7 and 10 years old. And someone sexually violated me that was older. And man, can I let you know that I was so mean? Because even at 7 to 10 years old, I knew that something had been taken from me that was not supposed to be taken. And I remember I would get so mad that on one of my dressers, I would carve in there with a quarter, "I hate so and so." I would carve in over, and like this is a 7-year-old. Because so much resentment and so much displeasure and so much hatred had begun to grow in my heart towards this person because of the pain that they caused me. Listen, I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what was done to you, man, and I'm not even going to act like I know what it feels like, because my story is nothing compared to some of the stories I've heard. But man, I believe that we've all experienced this moment where someone said something, where someone's done something, and this resentment and this hatred begins to grow in our heart towards another person because we just can't get over what they did. Now, what I find really interesting is that when Jesus talks about this word offense, talks about this word offense. Now, in the Greek, it's the word skandalon. Somebody say skandalon. It's where we get our word scandalous from. But before it kind of took on that definition, is that this word used to actually describe the part of a hunting trap where the bait would go. Hear me, it would describe part of a hunting trap where the bait would go. Listen to me tonight. Offense is a trap from the enemy. Hear me tonight. Offense is a trap from the enemy. Amen. If you let it, it will trap you for life. Did you know that there are people who are 80 years old who are still offended and still messed up over what happened to them when they were 10? They've been dealing 70 years with the same issue. Come on, can you imagine someone stealing 70 years of your life? Come on, stealing 70 years of your joy, stealing 70 years of your peace. See, because they fell into the trap. They took the bait of the enemy. And listen, one of the reasons why I'm preaching about this tonight is because, man, offense is the number one way the enemy stops the move of God. Offense is the number one way that I believe the enemy draws people into captivity. You know, listen, I see it every year at camp. If we can go there, can we go there? I wish there was more people here tonight, but that's okay. Y'all can tell them. Listen, I'm amazed every year at camp. I mean, like, God's breaking out. God's moving. Like, kids are getting in touch, man. People are getting changed, right? And I'm like, yes, thank you, Jesus. This is amazing, right? And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, someone says something. Oh, my gosh, why'd you say that? Like, someone says something incredibly stupid, and then the other person gets offended, and now this big fight breaks out, and it reverberates months after camp, and someone always leaves the youth ministry. Why? Listen, the Bible says don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. Okay, don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. I've seen this happen 3 years in a row. So I'm calling it out on the carpet. Is that okay? Listen, don't take the bait. In fact, I want to talk more about this trap, man. I want to kind of give you guys insight a little bit into what the enemy does. So number one, what does the enemy do? Is that he begins to set the trap, right? Because before you place the bait, like I think of a bear trap, you got to open that sucker up, right? Like, and you got to know where to put it at. I mean, like, man, like, if I'm hunting bears, like, I don't put the bear trap where the foxes are. I put it where the bears are, right? Like, no duh. Listen, there is no one who knows how to get you offended more than the devil. He studies your life. Like, I love the book, The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. Now, listen, like, I don't have any theological backing to this, man, but I believe that the enemy, in fact, I do, actually, it's called Familiar Spirits and Generational Curses. But anyways, like, the enemy studies your life. Like the enemy is constantly looking for weak points in your heart. Constantly looking for ways to steal your destiny from you. And he knows how to send just the right person at just the right time to say just the right words. Is that he knows how to set the trap. Listen, you think you know your weaknesses, but I guarantee you the devil knows them more. And he opens that trap and he knows just where to place it. Next, the enemy sets the bait. Is that he'll begin to send, once again, the right person at the right time to say just the right, or you could say the wrong thing. I mean, to set you off. Come on, does somebody know what I'm talking about? Come on, does somebody know what I'm talking about? Right? Y'all got to talk to me in here tonight. And then next, what does he do? Is that he waits to see if you'll take the bait. So he sets the trap. He puts the bait in there. And now he's waiting to see if you'll take the bait. See, we take the bait, listen to me, when we refuse to forgive. If you're writing notes, take that down. We take the bait when we refuse to forgive. Listen, unforgiveness is the gateway for offense to enter into your heart. Hear me tonight. Unforgiveness, man, it's the gateway for offense to enter your heart. Listen to this. Unforgiveness is refusing to let go of what was done to me. Holding on to unforgiveness is like holding a debt against someone for what they did, and you want them to pay for what was done to you. Come on. Like, am I preaching to anybody? Or is this just me? Right? Like, somebody says the wrong thing to you, and you want them to pay, so what do? You say the wrong thing back. Come on, we're not. Listen. I get it, man. Like Jesus is still molding us. He's just like, we're still in the process of sanctification. All right, someone says some colored four-letter words at you. What do? Oh, yeah? Bleep. I mean, like, if we can get real, I'm not saying it's right. But sometimes, listen, cussing Christians, we need to pray for them. Like, but we want them to pay. And so we don't release them. We don't release the situation. But, man, we hold on to them. You know, in fact, can we throw the definition up there for offense again? Is that the Hebrew is actually the word stumbling block. And you see, when I refuse to forgive somebody, it's almost like how many clumsy people do I have in here? Like that just trip all the time. Listen, when I refuse to forgive somebody, man, it's like I take this situation, I take this person, and do you know what I do? Out of all my wisdom, man, like out of all of my insight, because I refuse to forgive. This is a lot harder to do than what I thought. This is not a car charger. This is a lock. Listen, what happens is I lock this offense to myself. So you know where I'm going. And man, this thing is stuck to me now. Like, and I keep on going. And man, it's like I keep on tripping over it. And I can't understand why I can't get over the situation. That's right. Just broke, baby. That example did not go over well. Don't tell your parents. He doesn't skip leg day. You know, that's right. But listen, like, I keep on stumbling over this person. Like, I keep on tripping over them. It's like I can't get over what happened. Every single time I hear their name, ooh, I get angry. Ooh, I get mad. Oh, you know what, man? I begin imagining things I could do to them that would hurt them. Come on, if we can be honest. Listen, man, I'm not talking to the good Christian kid in the room. I'm talking to the real you. Okay, like drop the mask. Okay? Now listen. Listen, that person comes and cusses you out. You're probably not thinking of, man, you're amazing. Oh my God. Can I buy you something? No, you're thinking, oh, you little. Right? Watch. Right? Like, listen, when we hold someone in debt through unforgiveness, our heart keeps a record of what that person owes us. That's really good. Our heart keeps a record of what that person owes us. Is that we begin to become entitled and we begin to feel like, man, I deserve to be offended. Like, Pastor Josh, you don't know what they did to me. Pastor Josh, you don't know how they violated me. Pastor Josh, you don't know how they touched me. It, like, I have the right to be angry. Like, you don't get how unjustly I was treated. Like, it was so unfair. Like, I didn't even know what was going on. How could they? See, the thing about unforgiveness, the thing about bitterness, man, the thing about resentment, the thing about hating someone is that it doesn't trap them in a prison, it traps you in a prison. See, because here's the thing, is that I go to bed in hatred, and guess what? I wake up in hatred. Man, I go to bed angry, thinking, man, I'll just sleep it off because I just want to mention this name. Guess what? I wake up angry. Man, is that I begin to rehearse speeches like when this person's name is mentioned, I begin to rehearse speeches in my mind like of what I really want to say. Right? Once again, man, things I really want to do. Man, I begin to imagine ways of getting revenge. And most important, man, you can tell if you're bitter if you feel like you deserve an apology. Oh, that person needs to apologize to me. Are we going to throw hands? Bryle's getting real over here. Listen, but here's the dangerous in unforgiveness and bitterness is that when I let it take root in my heart, it will produce hurt. Because how many of you guys know hurt people hurt people? It's like hurt people hurt people.
I mean, it's going to produce anger. It's going to produce rage. It's going to produce jealousy, strife, hatred, envy. I mean, is that my relationships are probably going to be filled with insults, attacks, wounding, division, brokenness, and betrayal. And with God, excuse me, I even begin to backslide. Like all of a sudden, man, like God begins to feel real distant from me and I can't hear his voice. And my heart towards the things of God is really cold and it's insensitive and I can't figure out why. It's because I took the bait. It's because I got this thing locked around my ankle. Listen, walking in offense is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. That's John Bevere. He says, walking in offense is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Listen, you're the only one you're affecting. Your anger is not changing them. Your bitterness is not going to make them come and apologize. It's not going to. So what does God think about us carrying offense? Ephesians 4:31 says this. It says, get rid of all. Notice the word all. That's what I'm pointing out. All. Not most. Not 99.9%. Like not everything but that one thing that you just can't seem to let go of. Because you're so hurt by it. And you've been carrying this thing with you for years to the point now where it's become part of your identity. Is that you don't know actually, is that mean like you don't even know how to function without it anymore. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Luke 17:4. No matter how many times in one day your brother sins against you and says, sorry, I'm changing. Forgive me. You need to forgive him each and every time. What? So Jesus, no matter how much they talk about me, no matter how much they mock me, no matter how much they laugh at me, no matter how much they slander me, You know, Peter, man, how many of you guys love Peter? I love Peter. Because, like, I'm so Peter so many times. Like, Peter goes to Jesus one day. And I forgot the full context of the situation. But in essence, Peter thinks he's being, like, really smart and spiritual and wise. And he says, Jesus, I'm going to forgive my brother 7 times in a day. Wow, 7 times. And Jesus says, Peter, you need to forgive your brother 77 times 7 in a day. Did you know that's 539 times? So I did the math. Most of us are awake for like 18 hours if we get 6 hours of sleep. Did you know for someone to sin against you, just one person, 539 times a day, they would literally have to sin against you every 2.5 minutes that you're awake? That's a lot of times. Jesus says, listen, that's how much you need to forgive. Really, he was saying, like, there is no limit, as we just saw. In Mark 11:24-26, it says this. This is the reason I urge you to boldly believe for whatever you ask in prayer. Believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, if you find that you carry something in your heart against another person, offense, release him and forgive him so that your Father in heaven will also release you and forgive you of your faults. Listen to this. But if you will not release forgiveness, do not expect your Father in heaven to release you from your misdeeds. Wow. Listen, this is how seriously God takes this. He says, listen, if you won't forgive them, I won't forgive you.
You know, there's another version of this, man, where God says is that if we have offense and unforgiveness in our hearts towards another person, that he won't even hear our prayers. Like, this is a big deal to God. Like, this is like, oh yeah, they just have offense, they'll get over it. No, God's like, this is keeping you from relationship with me. Like, that's why the enemy wants to use it so bad. Would you be okay with God forgiving you like you forgive other people? Would you be okay with God forgiving you like you forgive other people? Because here's the truth. And this is why this is so serious to God. Is that all of us in this room, if we're Christ followers, if we've accepted Jesus as the Lord of our lives by faith through grace, that means, man, that we've already been forgiven of the biggest debt. And we've been rescued and ransomed from hell. And we think we have the right to hold unforgiveness towards somebody else. Listen, I don't know what was done to you, man. Like, I don't know how they hurt you. But I do know this. You're the one locking yourself in a prison. Even though we may have been treated unfairly or unjustly, God still holds us responsible for how we respond back to them. How many of you guys know that Jesus is our ultimate example, right? Jesus is our ultimate example. You know, when we get to heaven and we get judged before the judgment seat of Christ, like, it doesn't matter, like, how much more spiritual that I was than my neighbor. It doesn't matter if I prayed more than my neighbor. You know, it doesn't matter if I was morally a better person than them, because they're not my standard. You know, I'm not going to be judged against them. My judgment standard is Jesus himself. So in this category of offense, like, let's look at the life of Jesus, because, like, this absolutely amazes me. You know, and this is why this series is called Unoffendable, because Jesus lived an unoffendable life. Hear me, Jesus never once carried offense in his heart. Like, this blows my mind. Like, let's just look at what happened to Jesus. Like, Jesus was lied about. I mean, how many of you guys have ever been lied about? Right? Jesus was mocked. How many of you guys have ever been mocked? Jesus was laughed at. How many of you guys have ever been laughed at? Jesus was cussed out. How many of you guys have ever been cussed out? Jesus was betrayed by the ones he trusted the most. Come on, how many of you guys have ever experienced deep betrayal before? Jesus had people try to ruin his reputation. Jesus was spat on. Jesus was falsely accused of crimes. Hear me, listen. Jesus was whipped with the cat of nine tails. The Bible says is that they took a whip with nine strands of leather, and they would tie shards of glass and of sharp animal bones, so that when it whips you, it would dig into your skin, and it would grip, and when they yanked it out, that it would pull pieces of flesh off. The Bible says that Jesus was beaten so bad that his own mother couldn't even recognize him. His own mother couldn't even recognize her son. Couldn't even recognize him, that he was a man, that he was human. Because he was so beaten and he was so bruised. Is, man, they took 1-inch thick nails and shoved them through his hands. They took a crown of thorns, not just small thorns, but long thorns, man, and shoved it into his skull. See, my question for you is that how would you respond? Come on, we get mad when someone talks about us. We get mad when someone says the wrong thing about us. Man, but what if they spit on your face? What if they beat you to within an inch of your life? Like, how did Jesus respond? This blows my mind. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said, Father, I hear Jesus, like in the most intense pain of his life that anyone on planet Earth has ever experienced. And Jesus, like if anybody had the right to be mad, it was Jesus. Because he was completely innocent. I mean, like if anybody had the authority to make it all stop, it was Jesus. But what does he say? He says, Daddy, Abba, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God, I don't hold any of this against them, is what he was saying. Wow. Unoffendable. Unoffendable. That blows my mind. Wrapping up here, Jesus' life was unoffendable for four reasons. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 33. It says, but to you who are willing, and this is the words of Jesus, but to you who are willing, listen, I say, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you in one cheek, offer them the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, give to anyone who asks. And when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. Listen to this. This blows my mind. If you only love those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. Woo, Jesus is getting real. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. So how did Jesus live an unoffendable life? Number one is this, is that he loved his enemies. Like, I was thinking, how could you be within an inch of your life? Like, bleed, like you've lost so much of your blood. You probably can't even barely talk anymore. Your eyes are probably swollen shut, right? Like, and how can you say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? And it hit me. See, it's hard to hate someone you love, even when they hate you back. Listen, our highest call as believers, as Jesus followers, as people who've made Jesus the Lord of our lives, is love. Listen, if our lives should be marked by one thing, it's love. It's love. You know, back in the early church, man, when just the church was getting persecuted and Nero was dragging Christians into stadiums and he was tying up on planks in his garden and lighting them on fire just for the sake of light. There was an unbeliever who wrote something along these lines about Christians. It said, there's something so strange about them. They're hated, they're lied about, they're persecuted, but in spite of all this, still they love. Like, your life, it should not be marked with revenge. It should be marked with love. Listen, your knee-jerk response should not be to cuss them out back. Your knee-jerk response should be is that my heart should be so overflowing with the love of Jesus, man, that I love them back in spite of their hate towards me. And what's amazing is that this love here is that this is the agape love of God. Like, this love is only for, like, if you're not a believer, then you don't get this. Because it only comes from the heart of God. Is that this is a love, we said it 2 weeks ago, man, it's unconditional. It's not based on feelings. Man, listen, this love chooses to love. It chooses to love. In those moments, practically, I have to choose how to love. Because how many of you guys know is that you won't always feel like it. Y'all, that's good preaching. Proverbs 10:12 says this. It says, hatred keeps oral quarrels alive, but love draws a veil over every insult and finds a way to make sin that disappear. You know, I'm amazed is that the Bible says that that Jesus died on the cross because of the joy that was set before him. So, like, here's Jesus. He's carrying a 70-pound beam across his neck after being horribly beaten within an inch of his life. And the Bible says that he looked at everyone who was lining the roads, throwing things at him, mocking him, cussing him out. And he said, the Bible says that he called them his joy. Can you call your enemy your joy? This is hard. Is that, like, I read this verse, and I just see, like, in Jesus' eyes, all of a sudden, he's hearing everything. And all of a sudden, like just, like, love, just, like his heart is just putting a veil of love over every single person to the point now where he's not hearing the insults. He's not seeing the injustice, the unfair treatment. Man, he's just seeing love. Point number two is that he does good to those who hate him. He does good to those who hate him. Is that he died on the cross, right? Amen. Point three is that he blesses those who curse him. Did you know the word bless here is that it means to speak well of, to bless abundantly? Come on. How do you treat your enemies? In fact, what does your mouth say about those who've hurt you? Do you speak well of them? Do you bless them abundantly? How many of you guys know that's hard? Like, all of this is so hard. Like you need Jesus to make this happen. Like, this is not something that you can do on your own efforts or your own flesh. You know what's amazing? I mean, is that Jesus never once defended himself at the cross. Like, when Jesus was standing before Pilate and Caesar, Pilate and whoever it was, like, the Bible says that Jesus stayed silent. Is that Jesus never once said, do you know who I am? Listen, focus. Never once. Anyways, lastly, you pray for those who spitefully, or he prays for those who spitefully use him. So he loves his enemies. He does good to those who hate him. He blesses those who curse him, and he prays for those who use him. Wow. Every head down and every eye closed. Man, if I could have Albert or Mackenzie just come and play some keys. Honestly, y'all, tonight, I want to know if you're holding offense against somebody. Come on, I want to know if you're holding somebody in debt. Come on, if you've locked yourself in that prison, man, if you took the bait of the enemy, tonight there's freedom. Come on, tonight, man, I've been praying for you all day just for freedom. Just for in this window from 7 to 8:30, man, that your guard would be let down. Because I know, man, when you're offended, your guards are up, man. Like I said, and you feel like you have the right to be offended, man, because you don't know what they did to me. But you've locked yourself in the prison, man, of anger and of hatred and of division, man, and of brokenness. And you probably have no peace. And man, I can't even imagine what it's like trying to have a relationship with God like that. But tonight, the King is in the house, and he wants to set you free. So Holy Spirit, I ask you right now that you would come and you would reveal any offense that we may have in our hearts. Come on, Holy Spirit, anything that we're holding against somebody. Come on, any moment that we've held on or that we've held on to that we're refusing to let go of, man, and it's caused bitterness, it's caused hatred, man, it's caused resentment in our hearts. Holy Spirit, reveal it, reveal it, reveal it, reveal it, reveal it, sir. And I just feel the urge just to pray in the Holy Ghost for a second. So with your eyes closed, I want you to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Man, I hear the Holy Spirit just yelling in me, saying, release them. Release them, release them, release them. Let them go. Let go of your unforgiveness. Let it go. Let it go. So if you have offense in your heart, man, I don't care if it's one person, I don't care if it's 100, but tonight, do not let this moment pass you by.